Hello, loves, and welcome to the Sexual Priestess Sessions with Jennifer Posada. You can find out more anytime at orgasmicwoman.com, and remember, the rewards of this project are for all people of all genders. This session is entitled, How I Live as a Sexual Priestess. So I'm really excited to talk to you all about that wonderful subject, and I'd love to start by giving us a little time to settle in. And the first part of that might be that if you're listening to this somewhere that you can get really cozy, get into any position that feels good, whether it's, you know, sitting outside on your porch or really cozy in your bed or wherever that is, you know, whether that means having a cup of your favorite tea or coffee or anything else, lighting a candle, sitting next to the window, whatever it might mean for you. And or that might mean just getting cozy in your seat on the bus if you're listening to this on the go or whatever, which is totally beautiful as well. Or if you're out having a walk, that's just lovely. And then I'd like to give us a chance to do some of the pleasure breathing. And for anyone who hasn't heard me talk about it yet, that simply means breathing in a way that's pleasurable to you. And I know it sounds incredibly simple, but sometimes the real takeaway from it might be that it doesn't feel all that pleasurable focusing on your breath at that moment, or you don't find a lovely feeling of contentment or wonderful bliss. It might mean that what comes up is that when you pause to just breathe in whatever way feels good, maybe you become aware of how frustrating your day has been, or that one feeling that's sort of been sitting back there since earlier in the weekend when something big happened or whatever, right? And sometimes that's why we don't pause. And honestly, it's not that that too isn't part of the wisdom of your soul and your body and your being. You know, we know when it's our right moment to pause. And we may feel like it's been too long sometimes. And if that's the case, that too then is the gift. You know, that moment of, ooh, I want to do this more. And I love the pleasure breath because it is a very simple way, without a specific structure, to simply breathe for a while. And the only sort of intentional part of the exploration is what way of breathing would feel good to me right now or feel best to me right now. Maybe it's really shallow. Maybe it's a very deepened breath. And we're only going to do it for, you know, I don't know, less than a minute, although you can always pause the recording. And I know sometimes that structure can be helpful. You may have a favorite count to your breathing or focal point for your breathing, like in the abdomen or whatever. You may have a favorite visualization or mantra to use with your breathing, in which case you can incorporate that into your pleasure breath. That would be the way that would feel most pleasurable to you right now. A lot of times for me, it's either something really gentle, like just becoming aware of a very soft breathing I'm already doing, or sometimes I'm just drawn into this deeper breath. I never feel like I have to force it. And it always feels, to me at least, but I've done this, you know, a lot, really nourishing, even in a short period of time. But I always offer a variety of different outcomes that may come up because, again, it can be really liberating to just notice, wow, I'm actually not finding a pleasurable way of breathing. But that kind of information about what feels good to you and doesn't is also vital. Or even the realization from this moment, like, you know, I'm really not even interested in trying that right now. Great. No need to. I know that we get this idea that we should always sort of push ourselves a little, and sometimes pushing ourselves just a little bit over a tiny hump that we want to push ourselves past can actually feel really good or right. Even if at first it feels nerve-wracking, something inside draws us forward. And that has a different energy. You sort of kind of get used to noticing the difference between that and kind of shoving yourself in the direction of something, not even necessarily having checked in about whether or not you want to go there. And I think we get exposed to a lot of different practices, many of which are, you know, wonderful. And you know, we might think we need to always push ourselves in the direction of whatever is offered. And while experimenting, it can be wonderful, right? It's really can be wonderfully validating as well to notice when it's just not something that speaks to you. And there might be something else that if you give yourself that, you know, moment of permission would take you much deeper or feel better, feel more nourishing. So I always give a few opening notes about this because the more freedom you have to notice what truly feels good to you or feels right to you at a deep level, the more you hone that ability. That is really key to everything I teach about self-love, intuition, sexuality, the oracle, the sexual priestess, the nymphs, all of it. And so I love that in these sessions, this is always sort of a micro opportunity to actually have that experience, whatever comes out of it. Whether it's a, yeah, this really isn't right for me right now, or ooh, this is bringing up some feelings, or ah, that feels wonderful, right? So for the next few moments, please feel free, if you'd like, to just breathe in whatever way feels best to you. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And feel free, as I said, to pause the recording if you'd like more time. I loved that moment. Even though at the time I'm recording this, no one is listening as I record it, I felt all of you listening to it tomorrow, the next day, and for months and probably years to come. And it felt like a beautiful communion. So thank you all. And something that came up for me in that very brief but beautiful place of breathing, in whatever way felt good to me, was just how much that really speaks to what I'm going to talk about today and in the next couple of sessions, these first three sexual priestess sessions. And I'm not talking specifically about this exact thing each time, but it kind of speaks to the general areas I'm going to talk about. Kind of a home base that we're starting with for this material. And that is that I know a lot of people might think, oh, sexual priestess, or sometimes I use the term sacredly sexual priestess. That probably has to do, you know, only with specific energetic practices around sexuality and moving your sexual energy and engaging with others in an overtly sexual way. And some of you already have heard me talk enough to know that that's not all there is to it. Actually, that's sort of a flowering of something that's much bigger even and just happens to express in that one way as well. And so the bottom line is, you know, before we take it to the temple or take it to the healing room or take it to the bedroom or take it to ourselves in that way, that beginning question of can we breathe? And can we breathe and feel pleasure? Can we breathe and not feel pleasure and let that be okay? Or not be happy that we didn't feel pleasure when we breathed, but let that be okay too. You know, even if we aren't happy about that, which is okay, even if we would like that to change because we would like our breathing to feel pleasurable, to let that be all right as well. We're talking about this greater sense of what I call radical self-acceptance. And it's almost a juxtaposition, right? To not be happy about something and let it be okay, And it's not that, you know, sometimes those things may happen right at the same time. And sometimes you may feel like you're kind of shifting back and forth between this is so not okay. And, but you know, it's okay. Like, but wait, this is not okay. And all of that is okay too. But if you can have space to breathe, literally, metaphorically, you know, to actually feel your body, it's clear, you can imagine as I'm saying this, how important that is to actually then being able to share, live, function as what I'm calling a sexual priestess. Because this is where it begins, right? Our connection with our essence inside is where all this teaching and beauty and healing and sexual healing and wisdom comes from when we share it in the world. So that doesn't mean, some of you might be thinking, oh no, this means that if I'm not great at connecting with my breath, I'm not going to be a good sexual priestess, or I'm not really connecting with my essence. I don't mean to imply that. I'm almost using breathing. I mean, breathing is always with us. And I know that a lot of us tend to constrict our breathing at times. Absolutely. And I'm not really talking about being some kind of excellent breather. I'm especially using that as a metaphor in many ways for being able to touch base with ourselves in some way. And yes, we can do that through sexual energy practices and techniques as well. But you'll hear me talk a lot about making this basic connection with our essence inside in one way or another, and there are so many ways, as the foundation. Being connected to the body, being connected to the earth, and being able to connect to pleasure or what feels good and right to you. You know, not just like dancing around and this is so ecstatic. That's an awesome way. But also when something feels right to you that might be challenging to do, or when you need to really cry it out or whatever else that might actually feel really hard in the moment but feels better later that you know is right. And because we've spent most of us our lifetimes sort of being directed away from that inner compass, it is a loving and beautiful and pretty ongoing journey to keep deepening our relationship to that inner knowing. And I know that sometimes when it's been a really choppy, bumpy, challenging time, it might feel like that's just never going to end and there's not enough fruitfulness to it. But when I say that it's ongoing, some phases definitely may feel that way and they may last a while. I mean, some of you are nodding your heads and being like, yeah, I feel like I've been there for, you know, I don't know, decades even. And some of you are thinking, oh, well, I'm glad you used that example because I just feel like it's been a few years or, you know, this whole year or whatever. But ultimately, believe me, the fruitfulness of this is magnificent, and the fact that it's ongoing becomes this ever-blossoming flower. And I like to use that beautiful symbol because that's how it feels to me. The fact that it doesn't stop is like this ongoing exploration, and I'm always making new discoveries. And oh yeah, I mean, definitely I've gone through challenging times, but I'm so glad that this connection to my inner knowing helps me have those times in perspective as well. So I want to, before I go into the rest of this session, just mention that I've talked about, I'm not sort of introducing the sexual priestess in this session. And one of the reasons is because the Becoming the Sexual Priestess course is something that goes along with these sessions, at least the way that it's being designed and released at this moment. And so not only that, but those of you who also previously received and listened to the orgasm sessions know a lot about where I'm coming from in terms of this work. Additionally, there is a video, it's a public YouTube video I created called What is a Sacredly Sexual Priestess? And so that is a great resource for just introducing what I mean by that term. But in addition to that, as we unfold through these sessions, the picture of what a sexual priestess is from my perspective and my ancient memories will open up and become clearer than over a length of time than it may even be in the bulk of my other work, because I'm going to be able to come at it from so many angles. And the only other way you could maybe go deeper is to take sort of all of my related courses, which is a really large body of information. And as many of you know, I am obviously writing a book about this. So, and The Return of the Sexual Priestess, which is why I'm doing these sessions right now, for, of course, the project. So I want to mention one more thing, and that is that some of you are going to notice that I'm not going to talk about how, in this session, how I live as a sexual priestess sort of in my sexuality directly, but that is going to be talked about. So I feel that it's so important to start in these first sessions by talking about what the essence of being a sexual priestess is about. So by starting with the roots and the foundation and what it all grows from, rather than beginning with some of the later openings or flowerings or developments of that, which might be how this shows up in your sexuality, how this shows up in your work, how this shows up in your relationships, all of these beautiful expressions that begin from this incredible foundation place. So we will talk about how this relates to overt sexuality for sure. But even though some of you might be thinking, oh, I want to hear about that now, trust me, what I'm about to share is so important and beautiful, and it will make what I share later richer. So when you live your life in alignment with your authenticity and your truth and doing what I call following the pulse, this just effortlessly flows into your sexual encounters with yourself and others, or into your healing practice, into your life, into your teaching if you teach, into your relationships, like I just spoke about. I want to mention that I talk about following the pulse in the Becoming the Sexual Priestess course. And sometimes I think people get the idea, especially without the full context for it, that I talk about more in the course and other places, that the pulse is something you should hear or feel that feels like a throbbing. And you might. You might feel it like your actual heartbeat or like a pulsation of life force. Or sometimes I talk about specifically in the yoni, in there is something called the vaginal pulse that is actually a readable pulse that occurs. And I like to call the yoni your other heart. And actually, no matter what kind of genitalia you have, the pelvic area and your genitalia itself, can be thought of as an other heart. And I know that a lot of times in the quote-unquote spiritual community of today on a great portion of the earth, in terms of like the metaphysically minded people, there is some trepidation about, locating yourself in the pelvis. And that's, of course, something else I've talked about at great length. But this pulse includes all of that and more. And it doesn't always have to feel or be perceived as a pulsating energy, but it refers to your life force. And more specifically than your heart center or physical heart or genital pelvic heart or any of that, we're talking about the heart of your being, which again can include or focus in any of those areas, but is your essence. Because when we walk more in embodiment of and awareness of and alignment with our essence, our life changes beautifully in amazing ways. So here are some of the ways that I live as a sexual priestess. Number one, and some of you who know my work for many, many years are not going to be surprised at this one, is by practicing self-love. And as you may know, I practice self-love and teach self-love through taking self-loving action. So that's not the only way, but I've found it to be an incredibly direct way. that has a ripple effect that naturally begins to change your thoughts and other things like that. And that means doing anything that feels good to you and really rediscovering what that is right now in your life and at any given time, because it's going to be different tomorrow maybe than today, and different next week and a month from now. And it means coming up against the places where you may feel resistance and knowing when that means to pull back from something and when it might feel like, okay, I'm going to just feel this resistance or feel the resistance but go outside anyway because I know afterwards I'm going to feel really good. But this exploration, again, is one of the most powerful explorations I could ever suggest for anyone in terms of reconnecting to our essence more deeply and our nourishment, because I look around on the planet and I definitely see in very profound ways the need for deeper nourishment on multiple levels, but especially nourishment from connection to our own life force. And that is one of the great things that the sexual priestesses knew, that your inner sexual priestess and healer knows and can teach and share and model. The next thing that I do, one of the other things, is listening to what I call my animal body. So I call this the animal body to remind us all that we actually are animals, right? And it's another thing that we've sort of shied back from, and that's really because we've been passed down a lot of cautionary tales about not being animalistic. And the word animalistic just conjures these ideas of violence pretty much, and gorging and all kinds, you know, destruction even, and depravity. When the animal body is, wow, I mean, even really thinking about what the animal body means gives me chills and makes me feel the pulse so much in my being. Because the animal body is not separate from the inner essence. It is not separate from your soul or spiritual self at all. It is the most, hard to use the word pure, but because that makes it seem like there's so much that's impure as a paradox, but you know, as a juxtaposition, but it is one of the purest ways you could ever live in a body as the soul and being that you are and not have those two things be at odds. And a lot of the things we associate with being animalistic are actually what happens when we repress the animal of wisdom of our body that knows, that has that same beautiful heavenly wisdom we presume we'll get from guides and guidance, and those are wonderful ways to get guidance. I do it all the time and love it and teach it, right, in my intuition courses. But the body, you know, that's, wow. So listening to my animal body is like choosing what feels right to me and good to me and nourishing to me on a daily basis, an ongoing communication that never fails to surprise me and to illuminate new things. And so obviously there's a lot more about this in my teachings. Another thing I do is, while checking in with myself about when it feels right and how, is speaking my truth. And, you know, that extends to also knowing when I don't need to or want to. But speaking my truth is one of those breakers of spells. And one of the reasons I say that is because most of us who are interested in this type of work have some experiences in this life, and or most people on the planet do, and or in past lives where we've specifically walked a more mystical path where we were silenced pretty violently. And every time we speak our truth, when it feels right, we discard and shed some of that ancient restraint that I can understand exactly why it happened for all of us. And ultimately, even the restraint or the time of holding back has its gifts as well that will reveal themselves over time. So again, it's just as sacred, just as holy to decide it's not a moment that you feel like speaking your truth, or that you need time or want time to even explore what that might mean to you. So, as I mentioned a moment ago, another thing that I definitely do is following the pulse, and that means noticing where my essence really feels ignited and attempting to head in that direction, even when sometimes it seems like, you know, obviously that might not make logical sense. Trusting myself. And that too is an ongoing process and something I teach a lot about. Knowing my worth and having that worth be based on knowing that I am love, and always coming back to that and always noticing any places where it seems like maybe I'm not love or something like that, and then bringing in whatever way the flow opens up, that knowing of, wait, of course, my worth is that I am love, like all things. I am good and whole. And coming back to that, and it may seem like needing to come back to that a lot throughout one's life or healing journey, but if you think about all the times that perhaps in this life and even in other lives, that was not the message that we got through words spoken to us and also through experiences we had, then that becomes pretty understandable. Doing this that I'm doing right now is another way that I am a sexual priestess in my life. I'm talking about this. I'm sharing and I'm teaching from these ancient memories that I have, from this inner knowing that I make it such a priority naturally to stay connected to. And it's not like work. It's like an art project. And you know how there are times when you're creating something, anything, that it's just flowing and incredible. And there's not even any effort involved. It's like carrying you along and it's incredible. And there are these moments where it takes all of your presence and attention to work on one detail, to move through one portion of it. That happens too. And those are just times that take that much more care and presence and ultimately are that much more rewarding often as well. And one more way that kind of flows from that last piece that I just described, which is, you know, doing this, is through authenticity and modeling what I'm talking about. And really, if someone were to ask me, well, how do you do this authentic thing of modeling, you know, this or that? It comes from my self-loving practices, which always bring me back to my essence and keep me closely connected to that place. Or, you know, obviously in that place. And every time that I may feel that I'm drifting, even off to the side of that place, then my coming back is like a reweaving. And then I've woven that place where I drifted into the whole. And then there's nothing left out or unacceptable. So when you are nourished in this way, when you are connected to your body in this way, the guidance flows. And when it doesn't flow, you trust that too. It just happens naturally. And then when you don't feel like you're trusting, there's even a place where you go to trusting that you don't trust. And what happens is then there isn't like you, that goes shopping at the supermarket and you that is the sexual priestess. You know, there isn't like you that it's dinner in front of the TV or something, and then you that is the cardboard cutout of the goddess that looks like the sexual priestess and wears the veils or doesn't wear the veils, or, you know, once we're in the bedroom, it becomes this. There is this integrated being that is there, arising from you always. So that's why modeling, for instance, the sexual priestess or whatever, is connected, I connected it to authenticity. Because it's in me saying, yes, I dealt with this amazing chronic illness that is beyond all possible description. And it was not something I snapped my fingers and just healed. It was something that took me on a journey through the underworld that was more vast and more unrelenting than I could possibly describe. Although I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying, and maybe I will be able to. And the gifts of that are unbelievable. They haven't even almost started to show themselves to me fully, and I'm still humbled. So if I can be the sexual priestess, yeah, you know, in the bedroom and in the grocery store and while I'm watching a movie and when I was in serious pain and really, you know, absolutely on my knees. Once again, there's no situation in which you separate yourself from this idea of being this inner oracle, this inner sexual priestess. And really, you end up beyond labels. But the labels are useful because the sexual priestess is so important in the world again now. As a teacher of love and wisdom, the sexual priestess once assisted the earth in being held in a kind of harmony that we all yearn for on the planet again. And it doesn't mean there won't be other eras where different labels and peoples and types of teachers come into prominence. But this is a time where the sexual priestess's messages are so needed. So obviously I've tried to fit a lot of wonderful information into this short session, but do keep in mind that not only is there a whole sort of library of the rest of my teachings around these subjects, but also I'm going to keep doing these sessions and they will continue to round out and deepen and expand on this information. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I love you all. Thank you so much for your support. And I'm so excited to move forward with these sessions. Until next time, love to you all.